Chevrolet. Find new roads.
All right, we're back, and we're going to tell you about a really, this is some good news here this morning. I know sometimes you don't hear any of that on this program and think that we kind of focus on the negative, but I think we're going to dispel that myth here this morning. And we're going to talk about a local community project involving an orthodontist, a young woman who needed some help. And let's give a nice warm Radio Vermont welcome this morning to Sammy Gorton, who is helped by local orthodontist John Snyman, who we'll meet a little bit later here on the program. Also joining us is Rich Simmons. Rich is a learning specialist up at Johnson State College, where Sammy attends and is a junior up there. And so, Rich, start us off here. This is all part of what is called the Embrace Project. What is that, and how did you get involved with nominating Sammy for this?
Well, the
scooch
Embrace,
right up here for me.
The Embrace Project is a project that Dr. Steinman and his wife have started in collaboration with another radio station. And the whole purpose of it is to take local professionals and encourage them to reach out to the community on a community basis, reaching out to individuals in the community that their services would benefit and that they would provide at either very affordable cost or even free, which is exactly what's happening right now with the Embrace Project with Sammy. Dr. Steinman and his wife are providing orthodontic care for her because she was selected from the project. I nominated her for that project based on my knowledge of her and her contributions to the community, really, as a young woman.
How did you even hear about the Embrace Project?
It was really ironic.
And it's okay. We can mention the point. VPR we never mention here on,
okay,
on this station.
Okay, well, I will mention the station that you just said not to mention. I was listening to, and I happened to switch. I was driving to work, happened to switch stations to the point, and when I did, the commercial was actually coming on at that time. And so I listened to it and went back and was just really excited about it because I thought of Sammy immediately, knowing her problem with TMJ and the fact that she did need braces eventually. And so I wrote up a nomination. I also asked a couple of other people that knew Sammy very well and had been close to her and very supportive of her as she was growing up to provide nominations as well. And to our absolute joy, she was selected.
As you mentioned, Sammy has TMJ, which is an incredibly painful jaw condition. But what was it about her that you saw that made you want to nominate her? Because
well,
it wasn't that.
It was actually my interaction with her as a learning specialist. I met Sammy 2 years ago during fall semester. She had come back in. She had taken this previous spring semester off to deal with some personal issues there. Even during that time, she worked two part-time jobs, took two online classes, got two A's. She came in to speak with me because I write all of the accommodations for students with various different types of disabilities. She came in to ask about the possibility of time extensions for testing because she was not able to complete some of her exams on time. And as I got into her story, as she began to tell me, you know, the number of times that she had changed schools, the educational gaps, homelessness, various other things, and then the treatment plan that she had received, I realized that that she qualified for a number of different accommodations there. And then she began telling me about the issues with her jaw, needing braces, various other things. But that was an expense that was not realistic for her family at that time.
This is a young woman who certainly has had a lot of adversity.
Definitely. I was a behavioral specialist and a consulting teacher for 14 years at Milton High School and worked within that community. I worked with kids in alternative programs. I co-managed an alternative program for a while. I've met a lot of students that have come through a great deal of adversity, and I have never met anyone with the resiliency and the positive attitude and the desire to help others that, like I have met with Sammy.
Sammy, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in many places around Vermont. I've went to 14 schools, so I've moved around to many different towns here in Vermont. one is here in Waterbury. And we moved around because my mom was struggling with keeping a place, and she was trying to find a place for herself where she felt like she belonged. And my sister and I had to come along for the ride.
You have one sister?
I have one sister, and then with my father, who tried desperately to follow my mom and get closer so that he could stay in contact with us. He has three sons.
Okay. Your sister younger or older?
She's younger. She's 18.
Okay. And how old are you now?
I'm 22.
How'd you wind up at Johnson State College?
I decided that I've always wanted to go to college. I didn't think that it was a possibility with my circumstances. But in high school, I had a lot of support from teachers, and I became involved with VSAC. And I had a coordinator who helped me try to get there financially to find scholarships. And I had a lot of teachers help me with essays to get scholarships. And I applied to 5 schools, and I got into all of them. And I decided...
Yay, that's great.
Yeah. I decided I felt very comfortable at Johnson. It's a beautiful place, and it's small, and I like that.
Mm-hmm. How difficult was it making friends? I would think moving from school to school, 14 different schools, that would have been a real challenge.
It was not in the beginning because I was younger, and it's easier to make friends when you're younger. But then when I would move in the middle of a school year, I'd have to leave old friends, and that was heartbreaking. And I would go to a new school, and it would take time. Maybe I'd find one or two friends. It depended on the school. Some schools I made friends very easily, and other schools not so much.
Yeah. Tell me about the TMJ. Was this something that has been a problem your whole life, or did it start to develop when you were at a particular age? I don't even know how it works.
As I was a child, I started getting these popping and clicking in my jaw, and I just thought if I just kept my jaw moving that would be helpful. When I got to 9th grade, that's when I started experiencing a lot of pain from it, and it would cause a lot of migraines where I'd have to stay home from school, and I'd miss school because it was just unbearable. And then my mom finally got me into an appointment to check it out. And that's how I found out I had it. And I've had a splint for 9 or 10 years now.
Okay. Is it still painful today?
Not so much. Randomly, I'll get some pain, some clicking, but not as much.
Okay. Tell me about your friendship relationship here with Rich.
Rich is really great. He's helped me get through so much stuff at school, and he's taken me in as a family member, and it's been really great. I have so much that I could say just because I don't know where I would be without him in college.
Tell me, if you don't mind, some of the things, what sort of issues were you having that he's helped you with?
In the beginning, as he said, I came back after taking a semester off so that I could get treatment for an eating disorder. And then I came back to Johnson, and he helped me get back into the academics in the way that I wanted to be. He helped get me accommodations so that I could get extra time on some assignments because I was still dealing with depression and anxiety, not so much eating disorder stuff. It was there, but it wasn't major. So mm-hmm. He helped me with that, the time accommodations for exams, and that was very helpful. And then just having someone to talk about personal issues, because I told him my story.
Yeah. Are you're still struggling with depression and anxiety?
Not as much as I was even just a year ago. I've been to a lot of groups. I've been to aftercare for treatment, and I regularly seek support from a counselor.
Mm-hmm. You know, you must feel as though you've accomplished something in this planet, just even helping this young woman.
Yeah, I'm just very pleased with our relationship, and I'm just so proud of Sammy in terms of the accomplishments she has she's made as a young woman. And I think I don't want to take credit for that.
Yeah, but you saw something that other people clearly for years now haven't seen.
Yeah, I think there were other people that did see it. I kind of connected with Sammy at an optimum time when I think she needed a great deal of support simply because of the transitions to college that brings. It's not simply the academics that are there. It's also becoming a young adult and being responsible for your life.
Yep.
She had been responsible for her younger sister for quite a while, too, as well. And so we kind of worked through some of those issues as to how she stays connected with her family, but how she also steps into adulthood. So it has been incredibly gratifying, but I've been, you know, I've been equally as blessed as she has by the things that she's brought into our lives.
Are there a lot of kids who are in her position?
Yes, I think there's more than what we really realize. And that's that to me is one of the important functions of school systems. That's one of the things that helped Sammy get to where she was. There were individuals that went above and beyond their jobs and connected with them, with students on a personal level. And there's always a balance between keeping a professional relationship, those boundaries of professional and personal relationship.
Yeah.
But I'm just an individual. I was a pastor for a number of years. I'm just an individual that believes that there are exceptions to those rules, and there's times when you have to step past those boundaries professionally to engage personally to help people become what they can be.
Well, that's interesting. I'm not totally shocked to hear you were a pastor. That's really interesting. So can you answer that same question? Are there a lot of people who are having the same sort of challenges you are out there?
There are definitely a lot of people. I've met a number of families who struggle with the same issues that I have, even those who have recently came into Johnson as a new student. They find it very difficult to gain relationships there at the school. A number of the TRIO students, the academic support students who come into the office there at Johnson State College, they need extra support, not only academically, but making this transition and kind of breaking away from the family, because it's hard, especially a lot of these young people have taken on the role of being an adult so early in their family.
Yeah.
And it's hard to break away from those roles. It took a long time for me to create boundaries between me and my mother. She often wants to come to me as if I'm her parent, and it's not, it's just she needs extra support as well. Mm. And a lot of students at JSC feel like they should be there with their family and not in college. They want to better themselves and be in school, but they feel like they're abandoning their family.
Yeah, well, but I mean, as you know, if you can get through college, that's probably the best thing you can do for your family in the long run.
Precisely what we tried.
Have you ever said that same thing, Rich? Anything close?
Very many, many times. And Sammy and I have had that discussion that the absolute best thing that she can do is to pursue her education, and to encourage her siblings to do so, which she does. She's very, very adamant about that, and she's very giving towards her family as well. You know, in times of helping to provide for their needs at times, but just continually maintaining a very optimistic perspective towards the future, and that they can achieve anything that they want to achieve, which she's doing, and she's a great example for them.
We're going to talk to Dr. Steinman here in a moment, but Rich, let me ask you, what impact did this help that she got from the orthodontist, what difference did it make?
In terms, I'm not quite sure what you mean difference in regard to Sammy's
mm-hmm.
life.
How is she different now that this has all happened? How did it change her? How did it make her different?
I think it has really, I've always, one of the jokes between Sammy and I is that I'll say to her, the universe loves Sammy. And when this opportunity opened up, that was one of the things that I said when she found out that she had been selected. The universe loves Sammy, that there are very positive things that continue to happen to you if you're maintaining that positive attitude and moving forward in life. And so I think that was kind of a really strongly reinforcing thing for Sammy. That it's almost like, I feel like it's almost kind of payback for some of the wonderful things that she has done for so many people. I'm amazed as a behavior specialist. I was absolutely amazed at Sammy's ability to work with children on the autism spectrum disorder. She's just a natural at that. She's very giving in that respect. You know, she started a club, Overcoming Adversity, collected 85 pairs of jeans for homeless teens. That's the first thing that they ask for when they go into shelters. And they need clothes and they want jeans. So she took that upon herself to get some other students together and do that. So I feel like this project and Dr. Steinman and his wife's generosity in it and selecting Sammy really is a part of things coming back around for Sammy.
Yep.
And it's had a big impact on me as well.
Well, it's all a big circle, isn't it?
You know, really, you do
a good deed, and sometimes, God forbid, it even comes back. Is there anything else you want to mention before I send you back to the green room here?
No, I just do want to say, as you had asked about college students, I would encourage any educational institution to really take a strong look at their kids from a holistic perspective. That's one of the things I'm very fortunate in working in the department that I'm in academic support services there, is that is the perspective. I mean, we run a small little food shelf out of there. The director started an emergency fund that staff contribute to, that students can apply for funds, and just really taking that time to get to know your students and get to know their lives, and don't be afraid of the boundaries. Don't be afraid of the professional boundaries. Step out and reach into people's lives, because they'll reach back into yours. I'm as blessed by Sammy as she has been, you know, in terms of anything I've ever done for her.
Amen. Thanks for coming in, Rich.
Thank you so much.
We're going to take a short break. Sammy's going to stay here with us, Sammy Gorton, and we're going to bring in Dr. John Steinman. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back right after this.
Capital Ground.
Did you remember the coffee?
Capital Ground.
You didn't?
Capital Ground.
Ooh. Don't let this happen to you. There wouldn't be anything better than getting coffee in the mail. Our coffee is so special that we've rolled out a new subscription program. Each month, new package arrives, coffees from around the world. You don't even have to think about it. And it's great for that person or friend or relative living out of town. We've heard from people around the world that tell us that Capital Grounds coffee is the best thing they've ever had, so we wanted to make it convenient. You can check it out at capitalgrounds.com. Coffee. We know it. We love it. Since 1998, Capital Grounds Roasters has delivered the best coffee to Central Vermont. Available at Capital Grounds Cafe on State Street in Montpelier.
Capital Grounds.
Check out our new subscription program, capitalgrounds.com.
Capital Grounds.
Thinking about doing some projects on your home? A home improvement loan from Granite Hills Credit Union is the answer. It's quick and easy. Borrow up to $10,000 with this personal loan at a great fixed low rate. No appraisal or title search required. Remodel your kitchen, replace your roof, or add a room. You decide. Looking to do a larger project? We have home equity loans with new lower rates or a line of credit that allows the flexibility of check writing. Give us a call, stop in, or visit us at granitehills.org to find out how you can make your remodeling dreams come true.
Granite Hills Credit Union is an equal housing lender and is federally insured by the NCUA.
Dan Keene here from Lamoille Valley Ford. We just went over 2,500 delivered during the countdown to 2,800 at Lamoille Valley. First, I want to say thanks to Dolly and Michael Utten of Worcester for getting two new Ford C-Max Energies at Lamoille Valley Ford. Earlier this year, when I challenged my two teams to reach a combined goal of 2,800 vehicles, we knew we'd have to make crazy deals, and that's what we're doing. Now Ford just announced additional year-end rebates and lease deals on nearly every model we sell. Plus, currently at Lamoille Valley Ford, we have one of the largest selections of new Fords in New England, and we want to earn your business. And to prove it even more, during the countdown, Lamoille Valley Ford will include your choice of four winter snow tires installed or 2 years of scheduled maintenance with any new car, SUV, or F-150 in stock. So drive Route 14, 15, or 16 to Hardwick and the countdown to 2800 happening now at Lamoille Valley Ford, and spread the word. At Lamoille Valley Ford, we know price matters.
I'm Deborah Wachtel, and I have been providing health care for Vermonters as a nurse practitioner for 28 years. The most frustrating barrier to my delivering effective and timely care is when insurance companies unnecessarily dictate how I must treat my patients. This also creates an administrative quagmire and adds huge costs to medical bills. That's why I support creating a universal, publicly funded healthcare system. It is better for patients, better for healthcare clinicians, and better for the state's economy.
Paid for by Vermont Leads, Montpelier, Vermont.
I love Hunger Mountain Co-op because of their staff. They're friendly and knowledgeable, and it keeps me coming back. I'm Patricia Thomas Morn from Williamstown, Vermont. I've been a member and owner since 2012.
Moment of your time for our friends at Red Hen Cafe and Bakery right off of Interstate 89, exit 9 in Middlesex. It's a great place to go for lunch. It's an equally great place to go for tasty treats in the morning. And of course, right after you have those tasty treats, what are you going to do? Yep, you're going to brush your teeth and floss and everything else that you're supposed to be doing. And then, you know, I like to just kind of finish it all off with a little swish of coffee in there just to make sure that I've gotten everything that the floss missed. Just kidding. Red Hen Cafe and Bakery right off of Interstate 89, exit 9 in Middlesex. They have sandwiches available right when you get there at 7:01 in the morning. They also have great soups available, and it's just a nice place to hang out for lunch. You can also pick up items on the way home because they have many things that you could be making dinner with, and they close at 6, except for Monday when they close at 4. Picking up our discussion here, we were just talking with Sammy Gorton and also Rich Simmons. Rich, working up at Johnson State College, who nominated Sammy for the Embrace Project, which resulted in Dr. Steinem helping young Sammy here. And Dr. Steinem is joining us here. Dr. John, thanks for joining us. How are you this morning?
I'm good, thank you.
And Dr. John is with All Smiles Family Dental Center, which you may have actually heard an ad or two here on this station.
Once or twice.
All Smiles, All Smiles.
You like that tune?
Yeah. Did you make that up yourself?
I did not.
No. Okay.
I don't have any musical ability. My children got all the musical ability. They didn't get it from me, though.
How'd you wind up practicing down here in Central Vermont?
Interesting. Okay. I grew up in suburban Philadelphia. We moved here in 1978. I guess my father suffered a midlife crisis, and we'd always skied here.
Uh-huh.
And we decided to move here, and I guess I really blossomed in this environment. I was always outdoorsy. I always skied and hiked and snowshoed and did all these outdoor things that really wasn't available every day in suburban Philadelphia.
Right.
I just loved it here, and so I stayed here for college. I went to UVM, and I had always wanted to be an orthodontist. I know that's really a strange thing, I guess. You know, most kids probably don't want to do this, but I was treated by an orthodontist in Philadelphia as a kid, and I thought, wow, what a great job. I mean, you get to hang around with kids all day, right? And mm-hmm. No one's in pain, really, because orthodontists, it's not like endodontics or, you know,
right,
other parts of dentistry. And I said, you know, the guy was basically moving from chair to chair, you know, joking with the kids and making them better. I mean, he was improving me. He was giving me self-confidence that I didn't have because, you know, my teeth came into the room, you know, a minute before I did. And so, you know, he took that away. And so that I had, you know, just a better feel. And I said, I want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, unfortunately, there's no dental schools in Vermont. So off to Boston, you know, I went and learned that it's extremely competitive to get into orthodontic school. I mean, you have to go to dental school first.
I was going to say, so you go to dental school and then you go to extra school for...
You do postdoctoral work. So I got my doctorate after 4 years, and then you have to apply to orthodontic programs. And the average dental school maybe has 75 to 100 kids. The average orthodontic program has 4.
Wow. Okay.
So extremely competitive. And I learned this, you know, while in dental school. And so that, you know,
okay,
moves to the grindstone. And
Yeah.
Make sure you're in the top of the class. And
right. All right. Super fast forward here.
Okay.
How did this Embrace project start?
Lynn and I have always...
Your wife.
My wife, yeah. Yeah. And partner.
Dental
partner, yep. and life partner.
Yep.
Have always felt extremely lucky to be where we were. I mean, the right doors were open for us by, you know, parents, guidance counselors, you know, all these people. And, you know, we wanted to always give something back because we felt that the community had really taken care of us. And we'd have done food drives through the local, our office, and organized it for other offices, you know, to help with the Central Vermont Community Action Committee, and we do food drives for them. I've served on the school board here in Barry. I'm on the elementary school board. We've done pro bono cases for as long as I've done, you know, orthodontics, but it was never organized. I always felt that, was I really helping the right person, or maybe was I being taken advantage of? Mm-hmm. We never really knew.
Mm-hmm.
And so I sat down with our practice consultant and said, I need a way to give back to the community that I can actually see that's going to have a direct impact so that I can pay it forward. You know, I've been trying to pay it forward, but I wasn't always sure if I was really doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we brainstormed for a while until we came up with this idea, the Embrace Project.
How many people applied?
There were 30 applicants for the one spot.
And what were they? Were they all looking for orthodontic work?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Okay.
That was the criteria, because that's what I do.
Right.
So it would be hard for me to give away tune-ups, because
right.
You probably wouldn't want it.
Right. Okay. So, but it must have been a bit of a range. So give me some idea. What were people looking for?
Some people were looking for, basically, they were coming looking for things that they weren't actually there for. Some people came in and they were almost edentulous. And that was kind of outside the scope of the project. Some people came and they were so young that they were way too early. It'd be, you know, 4 years, 5 years before they'd be ready for treatment. So they kind of got disqualified based on they weren't ready or orthodontics wasn't the answer for them.
Okay, yeah. Tell me about Sammy's case. What was compelling to you about her case?
Well, Sammy fit all the bills. I mean, you know, as we were going down and checking off our list, every time we looked at Sammy's stuff, oh, there's another check for Sammy. There's another great job, Sammy. You know, she's giving back to the community. So we knew that by paying it forward, she'd be paying it forward. And that was a big thing for us. Plus, she needed the care. She was at the right time to receive that care, and she couldn't afford that care. So there's Sammy.
Yeah, kind of a there's sort of a sweet spot.
Yeah.
Tell me about TMJ. How what causes this? How painful is it?
Multifactorial, big word. There's lots of things that contribute to the development of temporomandibular joint
multifactorial?
Disorder.
Multifactorial.
Yeah, you like that?
Right.
Sorry. It's really a syndrome. TMJ is an anatomical landmark. It's your jaw joint.
Okay.
It's a misnomer. The actual issues that she's suffering from is TMD, which is temporomandibular joint dysfunction. That makes up a whole range of things. The joint, the jaw joint specifically, is very complicated. It both hinges, just like a door hinge,
yeah.
And it translates or slides. So the condyle, the part of the joint you can feel when you stick your fingers
yeah.
in your ears,
yeah.
actually hinges when you open a little bit.
Right.
But when you open a lot, it actually slides or translates along the base of your skull.
Wow.
To make that work.
I never realized that until I just did it. Yeah.
Yeah, there aren't too many joints in your body that actually work that way.
Huh.
And the issue is that to make that work, you need to have what's called a meniscus or a disc to cushion. So on the hinge movement, the disc really doesn't do anything.
Right.
When you translate, that disc acts as the cushion so that the condyle, the head, the jaw joint can slide along the base of your skull. That disc is held in place by ligaments.
Mm-hmm.
Ligaments stretch.
Mm-hmm.
Ligaments don't heal well. Blood flow in that area is minimal. Innervation, mm-hmm. lots of nerves there, though.
Right, right.
So, you know, one of the main causes of the symptoms that they get is inflammation in the in that joint capsule, in that space, and that sets compresses the nerves and sets off pain. There are other things that can happen. You can get jaw locking closed, jaw locking open as the disc gets crumpled up and
wow.
Yeah,
I think I'd rather go closed than open. Well, I don't know. Maybe
none of them are very, very good.
How bad was Sammy's case?
I was not involved in her TMJ treatment, though I believe that you did say that you'd had locked closed, minimum opening. You'd also had some locked open episodes.
Wow, really? I'm sorry to interrupt. How long did that last?
It would last for minutes at times and would happen at least once a week. That was before I got the splint that I have. And any time I would open my mouth either to eat or talk, my jaw would click.
Okay.
And you could feel the popping.
And that click is the disc snapping in and out of position.
Okay. Oof. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back in just a moment and continue our discussion. We're talking about the Embrace Project. We've been talking with Dr. John Steinman and also Sammy Gorton. We'll be back right after this.
Vermont Community Loan Fund borrower and Vermont business owner Bob Light talks about the Vermont Community Loan Fund.
When my wife Lee and I wanted to expand our Hollister Hill Farm bed and breakfast and to expand our farm store, we looked around for a loan. Traditional lenders weren't interested in our business plan. Then we heard about the Vermont Community Loan Fund. The loan fund looks at lending differently. It isn't just about the bottom line. It's about building Vermont's future, Vermont's businesses, and jobs.
The Vermont Community Loan Fund is a mission-driven lender. We focus on people, not profits. We're lending money to Vermont's small businesses to help them succeed.
The loan fund really looked at the whole picture with us. They saw how we were an asset to Vermont. Now, we're growing and proud to contribute to what makes Vermont work.
If you're looking for a business loan, look at the Vermont Community Loan Fund, where we look at lending differently. Visit investinvermont.org.
Please join Fiore Bridal in Essex Junction on November 28th and 29th for a trunk show featuring the exquisite 2015 wedding gowns by Justin Alexander. Every bride who makes an appointment will receive a $100 gift card toward the purchase of her gown. Come visit their beautiful and romantic shop on November 28th and Small Business Saturday for a day filled with memories. Their beautiful shop, unique gowns, and dedicated consultants set Fiore apart from the others. Come see why so many say it's more than a boutique. It's an experience.
Found your dress? How about your venue? Two beautiful venues, the Essex Resort in Essex Junction and the Ponds at Bolton Valley, offer a blend of rustic elegance and modern sophistication. Full on-site and off-site catering, a bake shop, and a day of coordination is included in your wedding package. Prime 2015 dates are still available. Contact the professionals at weddings@vtculinaryresort.com. That's weddings@vtculinaryresort.com.
We're back continuing our discussion. We've been talking about the Embrace Project, where Dr. John Steinman and his wife helped Sammy Gorton. Sammy's joining us here, and also Dr. Steinman. This may be a tacky question, but, you know, that's, I guess, what I get paid for. So if this all this work that you did for Sammy had to be paid for, what are we talking about? Like $10,000, $15,000? Nodding your head. Help me.
It's hard to say. I mean, it's... It's probably in that ballpark by the time everything's said and done.
Okay. Yeah, sure. All right. What did you actually do for her? And if you can explain it in English.
We haven't done anything yet. I'm still waiting for her to be in a comfortable position joint-wise. I mean, we have to get her asymptomatic and comfortable.
Okay.
Once we have that, then we can build the bite to that position.
But she's gotten this splint. What does the splint do?
The splint basically simulates the teeth coming together in a balanced position so that there's no pressure on the jaw joint, so that it can heal.
Okay. All right. How long is that going to take? Don't know.
Undetermined. Everyone's different. It can take 6 months. It can take 6 years. Sammy's already been through this for a while, and I think we're very close to that point that we can actually start...
Okay.
To build the bite to this position.
You've had other patients with this same condition?
Over the years, sure.
You were telling me before we started that there is no such thing as a cure, but no. There's, what is there? What's the best case scenario
that you get? The best case scenario is to keep them pain-free and symptom-free for the longest period of time possible.
Okay.
And that could be years for some people, and it could be months for others. And it could change for that person over their lifetime.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, because our whole body and our jaw, doesn't it change? Doesn't our whole face structure change as everything, we get older?
Everything changes. Yes, you're constantly in flux. There is no such thing as the status quo. Well, maybe for about a month at maybe 21.
Yeah, but after exactly. That,
it's slow up and very slow down, but there's still changes.
Right, that's that magic month.
Yes, that's right.
That we all, and I think you're probably coming just right up on it. So look forward to it, Sammy. Sammy, tell me what the impact of this has been, having this done for you. Has it changed your life in any way? Is it not that significant? What's the difference been?
Well, at the moment, like Dr. Steinman said, we haven't really started with his procedure, which he's going to provide braces for me so that I won't have to wear the splint and that I could remain in a comfortable position. And once that process starts, we are hoping that I can start eating foods that I will make it so that it isn't painful to eat, will make it so that it won't break my splint, and it'll be more comfortable, a more comfortable way of living, and I'll have more options for what I can eat, because mm-hmm. they're very slim. I can't eat things that are very chewy, like bagels. I haven't had a bagel really in 10 years because of this, having the splint. The other thing is just being nominated and then winning this contest like thing. whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
Has made me feel really excited and confident that I'm going to get some progress done. Because so far I felt like I haven't got anywhere, even though my jaw is in less pain with the splint. But I feel like I'm just sitting in this spot waiting for something to happen, but nothing's happening.
Mm-hmm. How dominating, how often did you think about this on any given day? Was it all day you were thinking about this?
Thinking about
The jaw problem, when it was bad.
Well, when it was really bad, I was thinking about it all the time because it affected everything I do, how much I talk, how much I eat. I'd have to be very careful when I'm sleeping because just moving around on the pillow is... it can be painful. The way that your jaw is rested on the pillow can be very painful.
Wow. This just sounds awful. It sounds like, when you're in pain, it's so difficult to concentrate.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And that also, at the time when it was really bad, I was still in high school, and it would prevent me from doing schoolwork because it was causing so much pain that, like I said, I had migraines, had to miss school. There were times when I was in school and had to leave the class to go to the nurse's office to get an ice pack and lay there for a while just because it was so painful.
Wow. Were you just gobbling down Advil like there were M&M and stuff like that, or...
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So the doc said one of the reasons that, and Rich said this too, that one of the reasons why they were interested in picking you for this is hoping that you would maybe do this same sort of thing for other people, which you've obviously done quite a bit of that already. So tell me about the satisfaction that you get out of doing those projects that you've been doing.
It makes me feel good that I'm able to do something for other people. There are so many things that I want to do. I get all these ideas on how I can help people. And then I talk about it to friends and other students at the school, and they get excited about it. And that's how things come together. I tend to be really excited about everything that I do. And knowing that for the Jeans for Teens project that I did, where I gathered around 90 pairs of jeans, it made me feel happy that I was doing something for teenagers when I wasn't getting that support when I was a teenager. I had clothes, but a lot of times I would have to get them through churches. And like Rich said, you go into a shelter and the first thing you ask for is jeans.
Mm-hmm.
And to know that I helped teenagers get some jeans, that makes all the difference for a teenager, especially if they're going to school, to feel comfortable in having clothes that look good or feel good, or even just having clothes in general, instead of teenagers going to school in shorts in the middle of winter.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was just thinking as Sammy was answering that, John, that, you know, all kids who are 20, you know, 19, 20, 21 years old are all doing great projects for other people, and none of them are thinking about themselves. It's pretty remarkable, isn't it?
It's fabulous.
Yeah.
Pay it for
Yeah, you were kind of like that, too. You know, weren't we all like that when we
Absolutely.
Were 20?
Yeah.
I wasn't. I'm astounded at this.
I was.
Were you really?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Well, you're a better person than I am. What can I say?
No,
so
I don't think so.
What have you gotten out of this whole experience?
I've gotten direct feedback on doing a really good thing. You know, like I said earlier, you know, we've been doing all this stuff, but I really wasn't, you know, it didn't help me emotionally that I was doing a good thing. You know, here the society had helped me get to where I am, and I'm trying to pay back, and I'm doing these things, but I really don't feel like I'm really doing it. Is this enough? Is it the right thing to do? I was getting zero feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And this, I'm getting instantaneous feedback.
Right.
It's fabulous.
Right.
I think everyone should get involved in this project.
Mm-hmm.
I really do.
Well, how can people do that?
Oh, my goal for the Embrace Project is really, you know, to create a community-based program where both professionals and other businesses can give back to the communities that support them, to the people who really need it, as opposed to, you know, if you give money to the United Way, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't, you should absolutely do that too, but it's so anonymous and you get no feedback from that. You really don't know who you're helping
mm-hmm.
or how you're helping them. By doing an Embrace type project, it's instantaneous feedback. You're seeing that you're helping someone in your community who really needs it, which makes your community a better place to live, which means it's a better place for you
right,
to be.
Right. So how are you going to try to pass that baton?
Well, what we'd like to do eventually is create a nonprofit out of this. And, you know, I'd like to sit on the board for that for at least a while. And bring in other professionals and other companies and say, here's what we've done.
Mm-hmm.
This is, you know, the stuff that we got back out of doing this. Not, and we're not looking for it from a monetary standpoint, but just from a feel-good standpoint and help the community. Would you like to be a part of this? Wouldn't this kind of fit what you'd like to be?
Mm-hmm.
And,
yep.
you know, I think eventually, it's going to take time to get this going. I mean, big things don't happen overnight. But I think that over time that we can create a local community-based program to actually help those who really need the help that isn't really happening at this point. Because Sammy was, you know, yes, she has, you know, there's assistance programs that she's on that are helping her, but it's a bureaucracy and people fall through the cracks. And Sammy's a perfect example of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here the system failed,
mm-hmm.
basically.
What are you going to do with your life? You have any idea what you're going to? Don't you hate it when people, when you're this age, ask you that question? But I'm going to ask anyway. You have any idea what you're going to do?
Actually, I enjoy it when people ask me that question because I already have an idea. There are two different ways that I could go. I am a psychology major at Johnson State, and I plan to become a clinician type of person in order to help young people and probably go into the field of helping homeless children and families. The other thing is that I would like to be a specialist in helping children on the autism spectrum disorder. And I've already started working with people in general with autism, and I think that it's great. Ultimately, it would be really cool if somehow I could integrate the two and be able to help homeless families, people in lower class, help them with their children on the autism spectrum disorder.
I'm going to interrupt you there. Thanks for coming in. Thank you both for your time this morning. That's going to wrap things up for today. This is FM 96.1 WDEV Warren, AM 550 WDEV Waterbury, Montpelier. News is coming your way next.